Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
We're back with more of Sabres Live. Presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Welcome back to Sabres Live here on WGR 550 and MSG. We are pleased to be joined by Jordan LaBarber, Sabres.com. Jordan, I am going to start this segment with instant trivia. 19 years ago on this day, May 13, 2006, do you remember what happened that night?
May 13th, 2006. I'm going to guess an overtime goal.
You are absolutely correct. That is the Jason Pominville overtime shorthanded goal where he walked around Daniel Alfredsson and tucked it around Ray Emery to win the second round against the Ottawa Senators in five games. Jay McKee was in the penalty box. He was the first one in the celebration because as Palmer scored the goal after McKee had taken a penalty, like Jay opened the door, jumped on the ice and hugged Pominville like he was on the ice for the goal, but he was actually in the penalty bench. So yeah, good job, Jordan. Way to start 1-0 on instant trivia on Sabres Live. That's good.
Can't miss Scary Good.
Scary Good was the moment. Yeah, it was. What a series that was. I can't believe it was 19 years ago. You know, it started with a crazy game one with the Chris Drury goal. There was a JP Dumont goal at home. It was, and then the Pominville goal. It was just unbelievable. So Scary Good, Jason Pominville, was 19 years ago today. We are doing a little going back in the time, 19 years ago. But how about 50 years ago, you had a great article on Sabres.com about the 74-75 Buffalo Sabres team that made it all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals. I'm telling you, people, go read it. It's amazing. But what are some of the finer points of that article that you thought was interesting when you put it together?
Yeah. So we put a lot of this together actually during our 50th season, which is 2019-20, when we just talked to so many alumni and I was able to at the time basically talk to, you know, not every member, but almost every living member at that time of that 74-75 team, thankfully including the, you know, the late legend Rene Robert and then Fred Stanfield. And what struck out to me was how proud those guys still were 45 years later, now 50 years later, and what they felt about that team. It's funny, you know, a lot of these alumni have never left. They're still so intertwined with the Sabres, and, you know, they're proud of everything that came after them. But you ask them, what's the best team in Sabres history? They didn't even blink, you know, 74-75. Next question, you know. And you look at it, you look at that team, you know, they made it to the Stanley Cup final. It was only 5 years after the franchise was founded. They are still the highest scoring team in Sabres history. And they're one of three teams ever still to have six guys score 30 or more goals. So they think it's the best team in Sabres history, and there's some numbers to back it up.
So what was interesting is you mentioned that was the team that Punch Imlach built, right? So Punch Imlach came over from Toronto, you know, to be with the Sabres, and he put this team together from the beginning. So Mike Robitaille had a pretty interesting quote saying that Punch Imlach used to always carry a train ticket and leave it sticking out of his pocket to kind of threaten everybody. If you don't play good, you've got a train ticket back down to the AHL or, you know, to the minors. You know, what were some of those stories with Punch and his ability to get the best out of everybody?
And I love hearing about Punch because he's just painted as this, like, this old school, old time hockey guy who built this cup winning dynasty in Toronto. And he comes to Buffalo with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder because he'd been fired by the Maple Leafs. So kind of this dual perspective of building this new franchise here. And, hey, maybe I can steal some fans down the QEW in the process. But yeah, the Mike Robitaille story with the train ticket is a good example, because the image they paint of him is this very tough guy, who, you know, looking back, they cared about very deeply. You know, there's a great story. I think it was Don Luce said they would negotiate, you know, it was before players had agents, or so, at least Don Luce didn't have an agent. They'd negotiate every year, and, you know, Don would ask for a little bit of a raise, and Punch would say, you know, I could trade you, right? And Don would say, okay, well, make the deal if you think that's what's best. And then they would meet for four more days, and they would just talk hockey. And at the end of the day, they would shake hands, and they'd get it figured out. So that was kind of the picture they painted of him. And he was, I mean, if you know anything about the 1970 Sabres, like, Punch built those teams.
Yeah.
Again, Stanley Cup final, 5 years into existence. 1971 draft, Rick Martin, Craig Ramsey, Bill Height, all three guys in the Sabres Hall of Fame. 1974, Jim Schoenfeld, Danny Gare. He trades for Rene Robert. It's he's a genius.
Yeah, he was a genius. And you mentioned Danny Gare. That was his, you know, first season. Obviously, the impact that he had. The story of him getting drafted, right? He was on the lawnmower, and, you know, nobody went to the draft. It wasn't the same thing. And they're like, hey, Danny, his mom was yelling at him, you got a phone call, you got a phone call. So he stopped the lawnmower, and, you know, he's on the farm in BC, whatnot. And he got to the phone, and it was Punch Imlach saying, welcome to the Sabres. But Danny Gare, a big impact in that 74-75 season for sure. And also for many years after that with the Sabres.
Yeah. And Danny, I mean, so he gets drafted. I believe he's the 18th pick. He wears number 18. He scores his first goal. He's on the ice against the Bruins. It's opening night. He's on the ice to start the game, and he's kind of, you know, eyes are wide. He can't believe it. And he scores his first goal 18 seconds into his career.
I know.
Which is a legendary Sabres moment, and it's fitting that that's how the year began, because it ended, you know, in pretty legendary status too.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Yeah, no, Danny, obviously, we all love him. Shoney was the captain. He had gotten drafted a few years before in 72. You mentioned all these. Larry Carrière had been drafted in 72 as well. There was a lot of Morris Titanic in 73. Lee Foglin and Danny Gare in 74. There was a ton of great draft picks. Some of the moments that people remember from 74-75, obviously the Fog game against the Flyers, but also the bat. And Jim Lawrence being nicknamed Batman because he knocked the bat out with his stick. You had some quotes that were pretty funny about Rick McLeish not knowing what rabies was, and he picked up the bat and threw it on the penalty bench.
Yeah, just a crazy story in retrospect. Like, the Fog game itself, that's game three of that Stanley Cup final. You could hold documentary on that game alone. The weather, the temperature was so hot in Buffalo, and the odd, the way it was designed, it created fog that was just rising throughout the whole game. Mm-hmm. So they would have to periodically stop play, have people just come out with towels, and even the players were helping, just waving towels to get the fog, just to clear it long enough to briefly resume play. And, of course, it ends with Rene Robert scoring the winning goal through the fog, which is a, you know, perfect coming from him, because he had also scored an overtime goal in that, in the previous series against Montreal. Anyone you talk to who played with Rene Robert just describes him as a clutch player. If I think Mike Robitaille said, if there's one guy from Sabres history you want the ice, you want on the ice to score a goal, you need a goal, it might have been him. So perfect ending to that legendary.
Yeah, Rene was fantastic. And it's funny because there's the angle from the corner where you don't see anything, right? It's like the, you know, the fog. But then there's a game angle where it's not as thick. It's not as hindering, right? Like the way that maybe we remember it. So there was the fog, and obviously there was the fans. Like, the odd was buzzing. You mentioned it. You know, a couple of years before that, there was the thank you Sabres, the fans chant after they had made the playoffs and everything. What about the fans in 74-75? And also when you look at 98-99 and getting to the finals again that year, 05-06, 06-07, those conference finals years, there's something common with the fans. What about the fans' implication, involvement, and the buzz?
Yeah, I mean, that's what makes these alumni who look back on that season, that's what makes them Sabres forever. You know, like we all know what, how special it is. I grew up here. You played here in those mid 2000s teams. Like, you know how special it is. And that was true during those early 70s runs. You mentioned the thank you Sabres. So that's 72, 73.
Yeah.
The first year the team makes the playoffs and they lose to Montreal, this dynastic Canadiens team. Yeah. And they're thanked. Thank you Sabres is chanted as, and they never, none of those players ever forgot it. And then the traction caught on all the more when they, in that 74, 75 year, to the point where Danny Gare, now granted it was his first year with the team, but he said that was really, I think for all of us, the birth of hockey in Buffalo. Now, of course, it wasn't literally the birth of hockey in Buffalo. You had the Bisons before, but it really caught on.
No, it was amazing. But Jordan, thank you for, you know, reliving this with us. I think it's funny, as you said, you know, this was, you know, an article that was written in five parts for the 50th anniversary, but with COVID and everything happening, and it didn't get as much, I believe, you know, kind of the spotlight as it should have. And now that it's been 50 years since then, I was reading it over and over again, looking at some of the pictures, some of the videos. They all had unbelievable hair. It was led by Don Luce with the great hair, but everybody on the team, the sideburns, Greg Ramsey's sideburns, it was unbelievable style. So it was awesome to have you kind of walk us through your article. I'm telling you, people, go check it out on Sabres.com. It's right there or on social media. You know, 50 years from the 74-75 team that made it to the first Stanley Cup final for the Buffalo Sabres. Amazing. Jordan, we'll have you on again. You know, there we were supposed to talk about maybe Tage Thompson at the World Championships, other things, Rochester in the playoffs, but I feel like that was probably the best segment we could do, and it was awesome.
Always great to talk Sabres history. Thanks, Marty.
Yeah, thanks. Jordan LaBarber, Sabres.com. We'll take a quick break here on Sabres Live. We'll be back after this break.